And welcome back to the Undefeated. We're not live today. It's a shortened day today. I'm your host, Anthony. I'm here with Braden. How are you?
Doing good.
Caleb?
Wonderful.
Dylan?
I'm all right.
And also John is here.
Guess who's back? A good gang.
Continue. What's
so
the first thing?
Currently, Braden and Caleb, they are... Braden, I think, is watching the Masters where Tiger Woods is returning. And Caleb is also watching the first game of the MLB season, which is Cubs and Brewers. So, yeah, opening day is today. I'm going to start with you, John. What's the thing you're most looking forward to this season?
It's on the MLB app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I was talking to Dylan there. Guys, opening day, baby. Opening day. Y'all know I've been waiting here forever. I'm looking forward to, you know, these Rangers. You know, this team that last year lost more than 100 games. Did I just hear Willie Adames?
Willie Adames, that's bad.
He's 0-2.
I love Willie Adames. All these teams that last year were not in the eye. Seattle, a underdog at the very last game of the season with chances of making the playoffs. The Rangers, a 100-loss season, a losing season. Jeez. Now with Corey Seager and Marcus Semien, all right, a new Eli White. Bro, Rangers are looking good this year, aside from pitching. The Dodgers got scraped, destroyed, scalped, and then they rebuilt in like a day, which I think is stupid, and that means they have too much money and we need to tax them. Freddie Freeman left, and like my dad, I'm never talking to him ever again.
Is everything okay over there?
Willie Adames just struck out.
Oh my gosh.
I was more interested in the Louis Oosthuizen miss, and he'll take a bogey on this one.
Oh.
Dylan, what are you most looking forward to this season?
I'm gonna switch it up. What I'm not looking forward to is paying this $25 a month for the MLB TV. What if I just wanted to watch the game?
You're buying the pass.
They have a team program. Like, if you want to pay only to watch your team play.
Now,
I'm gonna do for you, Dylan. Go to StreamEast.com.
Don't
go to
piracy.
There.
Piracy. Hey,
don't do that.
So, as aforementioned many times, we do not condone pirating.
Okay,
do
right.
Not do
all
that.
Right. Oh, maybe that Twitch guy. No. Let me go see if John.
Yeah,
is. Hold on, Braden. Hold that thought.
Joe Augustine.
Hold on. I have to go through your.
Pirate. Don't pirate
guys,
sports.
Don't.
Tiger Woods for par.
Three up, three down for the Cubs. By the way.
What do you do?
This is a
Tiger
this
Woods
a great
for par.
Show.
He's lining it up.
Special show today.
And the putt.
John, you sent me so many tweets, John. Jesus Christ.
Sunk it.
This is
Woods with the par. He'll stay even.
Moving on to you, Braden. What are you most looking forward to this season?
No! Are we talking about MLB here?
Yes.
You know, I'm excited to see the Texas Rangers. You know, this is my baseball team. It's been a couple rough seasons here in the past. You know, just want to bring it back to the happy days for the Rangers fans.
Nobody cares about the Rangers, sadly.
I'd like to sort of take lead on this MLB talk while I'm here. You know, we had lots of, you know, teams that weren't in playoff contention last year that are looking like, it's a 7-team playoff, you know, in each division. This could be looking crazy. Who do y'all think? Maybe last year wouldn't have made the playoffs, but for sure making it this year. Dylan, you want to start?
For what?
For what I just said.
I have no idea what you just said.
Who didn't make the playoffs last year that you think will make it this year?
Oh, I saw a tweet about this, and there was like a billion teams. Let me go find it real quick so I can get a better representation of who didn't make the playoffs.
Here, I'll start it off. I think Seattle's for sure making playoffs.
Yes.
Angels could be a wild card spot. The Mets. Mets for sure are making it this year, too. You know, I think keep an eye out for Miami. That one's really off, but I think Miami's going to do better than Washington. All right, and that could mean something.
We all know you're high on Seattle. You have Seattle in the World Series this year.
I do have Seattle in the World Series. Seattle made lots of great acquisitions this past offseason, and I think they did what they needed to do to get into the playoff spot. Now all they need to do is work their way, you know, to the World Series. But Caleb, Braden, who y'all think?
I'll tell you one team it's not going to be. It's the Chicago Cubs. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at their lineup right now, and I know one name, two names actually.
I know a couple.
I know three. Okay, Jason Hayward, Contreras, and Ian Happ. That's the only guys I know.
I'd like to bring up one guy on that Cubs roster, the center fielder. Who is that right now?
Center fielder
Jason
is
Hayward.
Jason Hayward, but oh, Rafael Ortega is
Suzuki's playing like Ryan.
Suzuki, yes. Suzuki was the MPB's MVP for like 5 years in a row. So this is a highly touted, you know, Japanese player who, you know, we should have our eyes on.
John, it is America, so let's see how he can translate.
All right, so what team do you?
So there's a lot of teams here. They're all horrible. Why? Oh, there's 20. I thought there was 30 for a second. Sorry, bad math. I would say probably, definitely not the Padres. I hate the Padres. They're gonna go below 500. I don't care.
I think they are too.
I think you both are.
I was actually gonna say
acquiring.
I actually think
acquiring Sean Manaea from Oakland.
Sean Manaea.
Excuse you.
It's Sean
Manaea. Sean
Manaea. It's Sean Manaea.
Sean Manaea.
Sean Manaea.
Tomato, tomato.
I used to watch two BC Productions.
Oh.
And he was a huge Oakland Athletics fan, so I think I know how to pronounce his
name. Okay, all right then.
Anyways, continuing on, I think the Athletics on the topic.
I don't think you do.
The Angels and the Mariners could all possibly make a run for the playoffs. Definitely better than the Rangers' chances. I think maybe if the Twins get their act together, they could be back after a horrible season last year. The Marlins. They've got some talent on the roster. They could definitely
a lot of pitching talent.
Go somewhere, hopefully.
They just need pieces.
So I would say the Blue Jays will be close. Cubs, no. Diamondbacks, definitely not.
The
Guardians, no. The Mets, no. They
they do.
They always choke.
No, yes,
the Nationals,
they have it.
No.
Yes,
Orioles,
do.
Definitely not. Padres are going to go 1 in 150. The Phillies,
I think the Phillies got it. Kyle
Schwarber.
I'm
just not a big Philadelphia
Nicholas
guy.
Castellanos,
oh,
Bryce
well,
Harper.
If Nicholas Castellanos is on there, then he's definitely going to hit a line drive. It's going deep left field, and it's going to be a home run.
All right, can I give my dark horse team?
Oh, God. Yeah, go ahead.
My dark horse team this year, boys, it's the Baltimore Orioles.
Boy.
Okay, right. Jesus.
Why do you say that? I'm interested because I have thoughts on why you could say that.
Okay.
But I don't know why you...
I don't know much about baseball.
Okay.
So it's just, you know.
So you
I
just picked
a
team?
I just picked a team. But there's always one team that kind of surprises everybody.
Well, you know, those Baltimore Orioles have the number one catcher prospect, Adley Rutschman, who was.
I've heard of him.
Number one prospect last year after Wander Franco and Jared Kelnick, who flaked. They've also got a lot of great prospects in their system. Grayson Rodriguez, a pitcher who's pitched with
he's a stud.
I know. Who's pitched with Adley their entire minor league career. I think watching them both come up into the majors could mean an entirely different, you know, mood in Baltimore. They've got Rugi at second base, baby. Love my Rougned Odor.
Okay, never mind. I hate Rougned Odor.
Okay.
So
and I wanna mention this Cuban guy, Cesar Prieto, great Cuban guy, led the Cuban League in hits all time. So that's a guy we should watch out for, too.
Again, John, it's the U.S., the MLB, not the CBL or whatever.
How'd you know?
Computer-based learning?
I think that's what it is, yeah.
Caribbean
what?
Baseball League?
Cuban Baseball League.
Oh. Caribbean. I don't know my first words.
All right, on the flip side, what team do you think that made the playoffs last year could miss the playoffs?
Tampa Bay Rays.
I see where you're coming from there.
No.
I think you're maybe.
Can we get a list of?
I didn't see.
You know what? Hold on. Hold that thought. The Atlanta Braves.
Oh my God! Are you about to start right now, Dylan?
No, I think
that
the,
was a joke.
I
think
the
Dodgers.
I think the Rays. You know.
Dodgers.
I don't watch much baseball. I don't watch much baseball. But when I've watched the Rays, you know, I've never really saw. Like, I know they have great pitching, but I never really saw much out of their offense. And you know. With playing in the AL East, I think.
Yeah, AL East.
Playing in the AL East, they got the Toronto, they got Boston, New York. They got a hard schedule. You know, they have to play those
What's
teams
the other one?
A lot of times. Don't tell me, Baltimore.
Why would you tell him after you said don't tell me?
He said that after. Oh my God,
I'm 46 hours behind the stream.
But they're
right
playing
now.
some good players. So,
do you guys want to know all the teams that made the playoffs last year?
Yeah, give me the teams that made the playoffs.
So the four wild card teams, you had the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cardinals. The Rays made it. The Red Sox ended up winning. The White Sox, the Astros, the Giants, the Braves, and the Brewers.
I think the White Sox.
That's where you're wrong.
Could.
One team
miss
has
it.
To make it out of the AL Central.
is true.
That is valid.
And, Guardians.
No.
No.
No, they're not going to
make it. Detroit.
Yeah, definitely
Minnesota,
not.
Minnesota. And I don't know the other team.
I would
Royals,
say
Royals,
definitely not the Royals.
Here's if I'm going by division, all right?
Watch
hey,
have
Caleb.
To make it.
If I'm going by division.
What are you
doing? I'm on Nick Madrigal
TV.
At bat right now for Cubs. Turn the volume down or we'll get copyrighted. Omar Narvaez catching for Milwaukee. As I'm saying, going by division, I don't know if the Yankees make it this year. I mean, they probably will with this, expanded playoffs, but legitimately speaking, I don't think they make the ALDS.
Oh, I forgot about the expanded playoffs.
Yeah.
Four
there's
teams
probably
made
not,
it last year from the –
There's probably not
going to
be a
–
Yeah, three teams from the AL East.
And the Blue Jays were close. Like, they were pushing wild cards.
Yeah, I think expanded playoffs Blue Jays make it.
I don't think a single team in the playoffs this year will miss it. Or the in the playoffs last year, we'll
there's going to be one for sure, but it's too hard to predict.
I don't know about the Giants.
If I had to guess,
I'm really
the Giants will easily
critical play. About the Giants. I'm not
like
sure.
A wild card this year, I think.
A single
I think the Brewers.
Valid. The pitcher
Jock
that
Peterson.
That a guy that I hate.
Logan Webb.
Logan Webb. I hate his face.
Jock Peterson.
Snake.
And Yastrzemski or something like that.
Yastrzemski.
Yastrzemski.
No, yeah, I think this season's going to be a good season. I think teams we need to watch for, as I say all the time, Seattle, Rangers,
Hunter Renfro
Mets.
Still plays.
I know, it's crazy, right?
What about Brandon Crawford?
Like, that dude's 100 years old. Brandon Crawford, still shortstop for
Brandon
the Giants.
Belt?
Pretty sure he plays, like, first base or something.
And Brandon Belt? Yeah.
He does. Okay. I know those guys.
These expanded playoff teams, because I'm telling you, I hate it. I don't like expanded playoffs. I thought it was a bad idea, but I think baseball-wise, eso, gloria al bravo pueblo. I think for baseball-wise, Wilson Contreras
Wilson
on that bat, and someone
bat.
Had a Venezuelan banner, and I just,
what a,
my
what
people.
What a pitch counter you guys are at. What number?
I think you're all behind. We are
pitch
number 12. And,
yeah, we're
Ian
at
Happ.
8.
Oh, we're at 8?
Yeah, at the plate.
Yeah,
here,
you know,
press this button.
You're not going to be very happy with what Wilson did. But.
Oh, what'd he do?
Well,
Homer?
You're going to think it's pretty exciting.
Okay.
But then you're going to see that it's just a warning track fly.
Oh, man. Wilson, bro. Wilson would go gold if he hit for contact.
Oh, but get ready. We won't tell you what happens next because it's exciting.
Yo,
it
buy Wilson in the show. He'll go gold for defense, maybe.
If you like
love
catchers
Omar
throwing out,
that's
runners,
another Venezuelan
stealing.
Catcher.
I won't tell you what happened.
Uh-oh.
I just said that.
Yeah.
Catchers throwing out.
Watch expanded playoffs. They're good for fans of baseball. We'll get more fans, but I'm telling you, watch these teams that probably wouldn't have made it last year. Toronto, that's going to be a close race
for birdie. And Coley.
Rebuilding teams are always fun to watch unless they're bad, like Detroit.
Rangers.
To tap.
And let's have a good baseball season. Just bought the show, TCTV Show League, right, Dylan? Right, Braden?
We'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted.
Someone loan me $60. My Venmo is dReidberg18.
Dylan, you work every day.
Bro, you do it, bro. Can you get
how can I get a discount?
Dustin Johnson for birdie, boys.
How would I be able to get a discount?
Don't you get 10%
and it's in.
Non-produce?
I like that top.
Dustin Johnson is a great golfer.
All
right.
At Sam's?
It's produce.
Oh.
I get, or it's like fresh items, I think.
Ah, never mind then.
So, yeah, I couldn't get anything
Moving
if
on.
I wanted to.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Final Four. The first one, Kansas beat Villanova 81-65 to move to their first national championship since 2012. What were your thoughts on this game?
Cool. Kansas, good job. I was happy. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, baby. Honestly, who cares? The game was good, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. What I really want to talk about is, I don't know if anyone who actually listens to this show pays attention. Last week I said that I needed Kansas to beat Villanova to win my bracket pool. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, I actually also needed Duke to win.
Dylan, no.
Because,
I thought you said
because
you spent a long time mapping out
I
what
did.
It took.
I did. That's the
win.
Thing.
And you said there was only one way. And
I know.
That.
I know.
And you're wrong.
My aunt, so the woman who picks mascots, snuck in there with Kansas going to the – she had Kansas in the finals playing Gonzaga. I thought she was done because she had Gonzaga in the finals, whatever you want to call
Tiger
it.
For par.
But yeah, so basically, Kansas wins. I'm happy until I'm not happy.
Spoiler for the next
game. No, no spoilers yet. I was just unhappy that now I'm in second place. And then, I mean, do you guys have anything to say about the Kansas Villanova game?
No.
Okay. Okay. Right. So then moving on to the next game, Duke UNC. Game's going back and forth. I had work. I'm watching it at work. Leave from work. I'm watching it on my TV. I'm waiting for Austin, fellow TCTV member, to come pick me up. And watching it in the car on the way to a friend's house and in the parking garage of her house or her apartment, I'm in shambles because UNC won. Yeah, that's about it.
Alabama, McCutcheon with the double.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're paying attention.
For the Brewers.
I don't think they are paying attention.
No, but keep going. I'm listening.
But Duke sucks.
Yeah, they're not paying attention.
Duke is horrible.
Yeah. Hey, next year, number one recruiting class.
What were your thoughts on the game, Braden?
I have a lot to say about the game. You know, I was trying to put this past, but you brought it up, so I'm going to bring it out. You know, starting off early with some terrible foul calls, gets Mark Williams 2 fouls early. You know, I'm hating it. Then they bring in Theo John, and he picks up 4 fouls in like 5 minutes. But both their bigs are playing good. They just had to limit them to fouls, and they went small, and Baycott had 23 rebounds. So, you know, there's not much you can do when the refs are screwing you over and calling a bunch of fouls where both your bigs have 4 fouls. But, you know, Carolina hit some good shots towards the end and put Duke away. But it was a sad game. Sad game for Coach K. But, you know, a Final Four team is better than all of your teams. You know, USC, whatever TCU, whatever Dylan likes, John. John did better than all. John's all unaffiliated. So.
Caleb, do you have any thoughts on the Duke-North Carolina game?
I actually didn't get to watch this one either.
Well, Duke actually just tweeted out, you know, Jalen Blake's freshman 4-star guard. It's his birthday today, so. Yeah.
Happy birthday to Jalen. But I don't have anything to say about this game besides Braden taking a shot at USC. We also have a good recruit class, so we'll be back.
But it's not number one.
It's number like sadly, six. No one cares about six in the nation. USC.
Just saying.
All right. Moving on to the national championship, Kansas came back from 40-25, halftime deficit to win their first national championship since 2008. They had 5 players over 10 points. They won 72-69. What are your guys' thoughts on this game?
Leave it for the world.
Didn't watch it.
I did watch this one, so I'll take this. Kansas, they really played my strengths. I wanted North Carolina to win because I said they were going to win. And I was sitting pretty at halftime thinking, I'm going to come to this pod talking all that stuff, and they just slowly lost the lead, and I was just disappointed, but, you know, it comes and it goes. North Carolina, you know, I won't be a fan next year because they're North Carolina. It was a one-year thing for me, and I'm fine with Kansas winning.
Chokeaholics, actually. I ended up watching the last 3 minutes of this game. Not even, probably. I mean, probably like last a minute and a half of game time. Very interesting. Kansas almost blew their comeback. But what's his face? The white dude with the horribly, horribly taken care of hair and beard. Looks so dumb. Needs a haircut.
No, he doesn't.
Fell. Tripped and fell. Didn't even try to get back up and just watched Caleb Love airball the game-tying.
I love it because I hate Brady Manning. So.
Caleb Love, man.
I hate every part that's ever put on a UNC jersey.
Caleb Love folded in the final hurdle.
He should have folded a week or a game earlier against Duke, but no, him and RJ Davis decided to have great games.
Yeah. Braden, what were your thoughts on this national championship?
You know, I was just happy. There's, like, you know, UNC fans are excited they beat Duke, but does it really matter? No, it doesn't, because they didn't win the national championship. And, you know, the whole goal of the season is for this game. And, you know, if you don't win, you basically just wasted 6 months of your life.
Especially trying. If you blow a 16-point lead.
that, I mean, that too, but, like, you know, the fans and the players and the coaches and everybody a part of, you know, Tar Heel Nation, you guys wasted 6 months of your life.
Shout
like,
out
just
Johnson.
Like every other team. I'm not saying that every other team's better, but, you know, there's only one winner, and UNC was not one.
Neither was USC.
Neither was Denver Broncos in the offseason.
Denver Broncos haven't won anything since Super Bowl 50.
And that was a long time ago.
And that was basically like 1945. That was basically when the league was invented. So no one Broncos are relevant.
The only player at Broncos that I ever like remember is John Elway.
Not even Peyton Manning?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's a Colts guy.
Maybe. Oh yeah. What about like Von Miller? He's more like a Rams guy.
Yeah, Texas. No, he's more college Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
John Elway.
I couldn't name another Broncos player.
When was the last time your team won Super Bowl?
I mean,
has your team ever won Super Bowl?
I don't know.
How many? But how many do you have?
Three. But have you won any in this last?
But how many
of
the Cowboys have?
Five, but none in the last.
But when's the last time you had a winning record?
More than three, Antoine.
It's ever since you bought that hoodie.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Moving on. The Nets.
That was good.
To the NBA. The Nets are in the play-in tournament.
Oh, Jesus.
What happened to the Nets this season, guys?
Oh, my God.
Kyrie Irving wasn't vaccinated and thought the world was flat, therefore he can't play away from New York. Or in New York.
You know they're getting rid of that? They're getting rid of the
Yep. Yeah. Too late for him, I guess, but thank God. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with this. I don't even know who's in the playoffs. All
Nets,
I know is the Lakers suck.
Let me talk about the Nets for a second. You know, it's their will to win is the problem here. They go down the court. They just care about scoring points and putting up good stats to cash their paychecks. They don't care about playing defense. They don't care about getting back. So teams, you know, like the Knicks last night, they take they lost actually to the Knicks because the Nets came back. But, you know, bad example. But the Nets, they don't really care. They want to play selfish. And that doesn't win games.
Yeah, personally, I do see them beating the Hornets and then it'll be the Cavs.
I disagree with that, actually. I think the Hornets can beat the Nets.
I do, too. I think
LaMelo's got this, man.
When you look at their rosters for a one-game playoff situation team, wow. You're taking the Nets.
Gotta take the Nets.
Are you, though?
Now,
realistically.
Now, is that game in Brooklyn? Because it would have factored if Kyrie can play.
No, it wouldn't.
I think it really all comes down to whether or not.
Like, he can actually play now?
Yeah.
I thought he could just be there.
Oh, actually, never mind.
No, he can play now, I believe.
Okay.
So he's back fully.
Okay. So he is back, but I think the Nets would still win that game, with or without him, honestly.
Were you going to say who's going to guard LaMelo?
No.
Who's going to guard Seth?
I was going to say.
Who's going to guard Seth Curry?
Me. Put me on the floor. I actually have no idea. I don't know either. All I know is LaMelo and Miles Bridges. On the Hornets, so.
Jay Washington.
Sure.
Cody Zeller.
Not on the Hornets.
Not on the Hornets.
On the Trailblazers.
On the Blazers.
What's the next topic, Anthony?
They wouldn't even play the Hornets. They play Cleveland first.
Oh, well, I still think Cleveland can beat them.
Yeah, it's 7-8 and then 9-10.
They aren't the 8.
Yeah, they're the 8, I think.
The Nets are the 8.
Just won last night.
Why is it not 7-10, 8-9?
Because the 7 plays the 8. The winner of the 9-10 plays the loser of the 7-8. So the 7-8 has two chances because they should be in the playoffs already. So they basically have two chances.
That
to
is
win one
so
game.
Stupid.
It is, but it's like.
But that's actually kind of sick at the same time.
It makes the most sense because the 7-8 team should already be in the playoffs.
Well, then
like
just
the play-in is
put
stupid.
Them in the playoffs.
But.
I don't know. That's dumb.
All right.
TBH.
Next topic is the Lakers. They were officially eliminated after losing to the Suns. They are 4-17 since the All-Star break.
After losing to the Suns 15,239-24 in the fourth quarter.
Woods
sure,
just
we'll
put
a did you see that? Did you see that?
Place.
That was actually a real thing. Hold on. Let me
no,
see.
I didn't. This game was over.
Suns,
Eagle
Lakers,
no, wait.
15,000 points.
Don't LeBron sat this game out. I think he's had the game out before that, too. I'm not sure. But Russell Westbrook has said he doesn't want to leave.
Chance.
What do you guys think the Lakers need to improve next season?
Make him leave?
Not even make him
I think
leave.
LeBron should just retire, honestly. You know, he's just not getting it done. He's just a bad player. He's not the real GOAT. You know, I hate how people talk about LeBron being better than Michael.
15,239 to 24 with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Did y'all see that? That was like a real thing in the broadcast. They messed it up so badly, but it was.
I've made that happen before once. But with the time.
No one cares, John, sadly.
I think Westbrook can stay. I just think he's just going to have to know his role more.
I agree.
And I think they got to build a better around it.
But the thing with the Lakers is that wouldn't worry me at all. Is it's the Los Angeles Lakers, and NBA players are going to want to go there. So it's not anything about, like, you know, they've had a bad year. They're going to continue to have bad years. They're not, because, you know, free agency comes around, and big players want to sign there.
What are y'all thoughts about LeBron wanting to play with Curry?
I want to play with Curry. So,
what are the odds that that Steve Kerr
the odds are low
recruits him?
I think that's
the only way LeBron can play with Steph Curry is if LeBron retires, waits for his contract to end, and then signs with Golden State. And Golden State were to cut the rest of their roster to afford enough cap space, and also for those two players to get the shots that they're going to want. You know, they're not going to be able to play with like other players like the Warriors roster already has and be fine with getting the number of shots they want.
Yeah, Jordan Poole would get no shots, really.
Jordan Poole, no shots. Klay's going to get five shots a game.
He's going to get shots.
I mean, it's not like –
Klay's already not getting a lot of shots.
It's LeBron, though. It's not like he's a selfish ball hog.
He's not, but –
He's
know,
a passer, you know. He's
when,
he,
the game,
he gets,
when the game's on the line, he's going to want to take that shot, but so is Curry. So
is Klay.
Like,
but they already have that problem.
You're going to have the problem with three guys at the point. And
but at the same time, they had that problem with KD. And they've found a way to
but I think LeBron,
win with that.
I think LeBron and KD are different players. You know, I think
KD's a score-first player, and I think LeBron's
with
not.
With a team that's not as good, you know, I want LeBron. But with a team that's already great, I would rather have KD.
I disagree.
Yeah, I kind of
how
with that.
Like,
LeBron.
I think lower
right. I think
players.
I would rather have LeBron on the Warriors than KD.
No chance.
Because he's more of a passer than KD is.
No, but if you're talking about the, you know, the Rockets or the Thunder, I'd rather have LeBron than KD. But if you're talking one of the best teams,
I would rather have neither one of those players on either of those teams.
Okay, well that's just an example of a bad team.
I don't think the Rockets are that bad. I don't think the Thunder are that bad either.
Okay, well, the records
Sometimes
definitely show.
They're playing like bit from like.
They're playing like
Russia.
15-year-olds, dude.
Jalen Horde.
All right. So moving on to the last thing, all playoff spots have been confirmed, especially in the East. Number one currently is Miami. The two seed is the Celtics. Three are the Bucks. Four are the Sixers. Five are the Raptors, and six are the Bulls, who were.
Dang.
The number one seed for so long,
and that's confirmed, like completely.
I think they're all confirmed, but the spots can still change. I think.
Okay, that's what I was gonna say. Because the 2, 3, 4, and maybe even 5,
I think
are like
it's
all within half a game or a game. Because I know the 2, 3, 4 is like a really tight race right now.
Yeah, they're all half game back, and
the
Celtics can still get that number one seed, but the Heat just need to win one more game, and they have that confirmed. And then the play-in teams are Cleveland, who will play Brooklyn. Atlanta will play Charlotte.
Yes.
Yeah, I like Atlanta there. But
yes.
That's going to be a great game.
Atlanta. I'm going for the Hawks, baby.
It's kind of sad to see the Hawks out of the playoffs, honestly.
Yeah.
Being in the play-in.
The Hawks are boring.
The East is
what?
Just kind of a lot of even.
I don't like the Hawks.
It's literally
Trae Young's bald.
No, the Hawks are probably the most fun team to watch.
No, I'd rather.
There's so many alley-oops.
Trae
Young,
okay, yeah,
D3's,
you could say
like,
you could say the Hornets are a very entertaining team, but like
they are.
It doesn't make the Hawks boring.
Both of those teams, that's going to be a show. You know, especially if the Hornets announcers are calling the game.
Yeah.
So who do you guys think will make it out of the East?
Whoever's 1 through 6, and then the Hawks and the whoever plays the Nets. Cleveland?
Yeah.
Cleveland and the Hawks.
Wait.
So who's going to
represent? Oh, the play-in.
Cleveland and the
Wait, so then the loser of Cleveland-Brooklyn has to play the winner of Atlanta-Charlotte.
Yes.
That
yes.
is
and
so
I
stupid.
And then I think they play the
that
number one seed.
That is so dumb.
And then.
Oh, my God.
And then Cleveland-Brooklyn plays the 2 seed.
Honestly, I'm going to go Brooklyn and the Hawks. I don't think the Cavs will win. You know, I like the Cavs.
Who they lose to?
I don't think the Nets will lose too straight though.
I think they'll win the first one, and I think the Cavs will have to play a team like the Hawks or Hornets, who can get really hot, and I think they won't beat
That's
them.
That's a bad matchup for the Cavs.
That's what I'm saying. So I think, you know, the Nets.
They just need to beat the Nets.
They beat the Nets, like, they don't have to. They clearly don't have to worry, but if they lose, I don't think they'll make it.
Wait, I got this wrong. Yeah, so the winner of Cleveland, Brooklyn will play the 2 seed, I believe, and then the winner of the second
one will play the one seed.
Birdie.
Yes.
Cool. Right. I have three players.
So who do you guys think is going to represent the East in the finals? Early predictions.
Early
Nobody.
Prediction.
Nobody. They're all
horrible. If healthy,
me.
Philadelphia.
Miami if they don't have to play Brooklyn.
That I like that. A team that I think will be a first-round exit or even a second-round exit that's a high team would be the Boston Celtics. I don't think they'll go far at all.
I don't know. I feel like – I don't know.
They're one of those teams.
I feel like the Bucks. Will be a first round exit.
No, the Bucks can make it out easily.
Who are they playing right now? Who are they scheduled to play?
I think they're the Bulls. They can be the Bulls.
Oh yeah, they can be the Bulls.
You know, the Balzac is just not all together. So
the Balzac has been struggling a lot recently. Clearly, especially against good teams.
All right, little pause real quick. Team. Woods for Eagle. Ooh. You know, if you don't know, that's -2. So he is he's putting right here. It's not too far of a putt either. And the stroke looks way off. But the curve. Oh, he left it just short.
Oh, just short.
Just short. He'll get birdie.
That's fine. It's because you were talking, bro.
He will get birdie, but that was a good spot for
Eagle.
This
is all because Anthony is
in the tap in for birdie. It'll go. Tiger Woods is -1.
Let's go.
2 away from the lead.
Through 13.
At bat right now.
All
right,
who are we talking about next? The West?
Yeah, the West. So number 1 and 2 are confirmed. It'll be the Suns and the Grizzlies.
Okay.
3 is the Warriors currently.
Okay.
4 is the Mavs.
Okay.
5 is the Jazz. 6 are the Nuggets. And then Minnesota can still get in, and the Nuggets can fall out. That's the only change. The Clippers will be the 8, and then Pelicans and Spurs to end it off.
Give me the Spurs over the Pelicans. Give me... Who is the 7?
Minnesota.
And or Denver, but I think
over, and then it's the Clippers. Give me Minnesota over the Clippers. Give me Denver over the Clippers. I hate the Clippers.
Over the Clippers?
If Denver falls.
Yeah,
if
Denver falls.
7.
So you think the Spurs can beat the Clippers?
I also think give me San Antonio over the Clippers.
Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like San Antonio beating the Pelicans.
That's disrespectful.
It's not. CJ McCollum. I think addition of CJ McCollum, the Pelicans have been really good.
Well,
they've turned the season around. Everyone thought they were well out, but they're. I mean,
well, let me.
I think they beat the Spurs for sure.
Honestly, I don't care too much about the play-in. I don't care too much about the West. But this is. Let me tell you something right now. The Mavericks are gonna walk the Jazz. And I know you're a big Jazz guy.
I'm a big Jazz fan.
I know you're a big Jazz guy.
But I'm also a Mavericks fan. So
the Mavericks are walking them.
I like that, but I'm still scared. Because nobody can match up on the Mavericks with Rudy Gobert. And that's what scares me.
Do you know – hold on. Do you know that it's more likely for Donovan Mitchell to turn the ball over than it is for him to pass to Rudy Gobert? That's like a genuine statistic.
Is that statistically proven?
Yes, statistically.
I
think that's it.
Miss DeLeon told me.
That's a huge problem because, you know.
They're supposed to be the duo. They're supposed to be the main two in Utah. I couldn't name a single other Utah. Does Jordan Clarkson still play for Utah? I guess I could name one more player for Utah, but that's embarrassing.
Dylan Royberg. Yeah, no, that's a huge mismatch. For Dallas to have to guard Rudy Gobert, but you know if they don't utilize him like they should, I guess it'll be all right. But nobody can get rebounds over Gobert. Like Dallas is leading rebounders, Dwight Powell.
Then just make your shots.
Yeah.
Who's gonna make more shots though?
I think the Jazz will make more shots. Honestly.
I
like Dallas a lot, but Luka goes cold and there's no chance. But if Luka's hot, they can. Okay, if Luka doesn't play or Luka's hot, they play good. But if Luka goes cold, he tries to shoot out of it and can't. You know,
there's some last games time Luka went cold.
A couple games ago, actually, and they dropped one to the
Wizards. I think it was
Wizards. Yeah, Wizards.
He had like 35 points.
Well, Porzingis had like 50. So
that is true.
Tiger with the bad drive.
Bad drive.
Caleb, who are the two teams you think will make it out of the West play-in?
Pelicans and the... No. I think... Yeah, Pelicans and the Timberwolves.
Over Clippers?
I like that.
I like that, or I like the Clippers.
No.
But I don't think the Spurs have a chance.
The Clippers, to me, are like the Denver Broncos.
No.
The Spurs just beat the Nuggets.
The Spurs are the Denver Broncos.
The Spurs just beat the Nuggets.
Okay, that was a regular season game. Like,
they've turned up in the last couple of games.
I think they suck.
So. The Spurs are very underrated, in my opinion.
They suck, guys. Name one person on the Spurs.
Besides DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray.
Name one player that's not DeJounte Murray.
Big Pop.
Manu Ginobili.
One, it's Manu, and two, Tim
Duncan.
He hasn't been playing for like 20 years.
He just got inducted into the Hall of Fame, actually.
I know.
All right, so then kind of what I asked in the East, what team do you think will make the finals from the West?
Jordan Spieth, minus one. You know, the team in the West that makes the finals, hate to be boring, but I like the Phoenix Suns. You know, if they're all healthy, I don't think anybody can stop them, really. Like, they always match up better against any team that they play because they have Chris Paul at point guard, DeAndre Ayton at center, and Devin Booker who can shoot it, and just also great role players.
Interesting. What do you think, Dylan?
In the West?
Yeah.
Give me the Grizzlies.
Terrible.
I think the Grizzlies or the Suns.
Because the Grizzlies, the playoffs are all about matchups. You know, because they play 7-game series, and the Grizzlies don't have, like...
They're either going to play the Timberwolves or the Clippers.
They have Jaw. Okay, they don't have much else.
They're gonna play the Timberwolves or the Clippers.
Jaren Jackson is very inconsistent, and you know, not a lot of other players on the roster many people can name. So,
they're gonna play the Timberwolves or the Clippers.
I think the Timberwolves have a better chance.
Okay, interesting.
Caleb,
I think Karl-Anthony Towns. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is one of the better players in the league.
He is, but that doesn't mean that they're gonna beat the. Grizzlies just because he's one of the better players in the league.
He's going to stop Carl.
LeBron James is one of the best players in the league, and look where they are.
Steven Adams might be the worst center in the league.
No shot.
He's terrible.
Oh.
He's amazing. So, Caleb, you think it'll be...
That is a horrible take.
I like the Grizzlies as well.
You think it'll be Grizzlies-Miami?
Yeah, that's great. Grizzlies-Miami.
Brayden, you think it'll be Suns?
Toronto's in the playoffs?
I like Suns-Sixers or Suns-Bucks. Suns-Sixers, Suns-Bucks.
And Dylan, you have...
I don't even know.
Grizzlies and
no one in the East. I think they should.
So the Grizzlies just automatically win.
Dylan's
it?
Yeah, going to the East,
but
I'm you,
okay, if the Mavericks get the 3 seed, I think they'll make to the conference finals.
I can see that
because they can match up really well against the Memphis Grizzlies because both teams don't have a great center. But like, I don't know.
The Mavs just need the Warriors to lose one game, and then they win out. Moving on to them, some game picks tonight. We have the Celtics and the Bucks. I'm starting with you, Dylan.
You know what? Hold on. Hold that thought, Anthony. Can we talk? Do any of you guys pay attention to hockey at all?
I do a little bit, actually.
No. Okay. Do you
know the Hurricanes are good?
Do you know anything about the wild card race right now?
Yeah.
A little bit. If you tell me the teams in it, I could.
Okay. Give me 1 second. All I know is that the Stars and the Knights, currently the wild card in the Western Conference, is Nashville, Dallas.
Okay. Those two teams seem to play each other all the time.
Doesn't Dallas have like
division.
Every time I look, Nashville's playing Dallas.
They're in the same division, so yes, or conference or whatever it is, it's division. Dallas has 83 points right now, and Vegas has 82.
Okay.
So Vegas, doesn't Nashville only have like one more point
Vegas
than the Stars?
Vegas cannot win games.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Vegas cannot win games on the road. That's all I know about Vegas.
Let me check the standings right now. Wild card standings.
You watch any NHL, Caleb?
No
hockey? Can you name one hockey player?
Nashville has 84.
That's not Tyler
Seguin
or Jamie.
They can still fall out, can't they?
Could technically, yeah. But I can't seem to pull up the wild card data.
Sidney Crosby?
He plays?
The Stars have played 3 less games than the Golden Knights.
Actually, don't
and they're a point ahead of them.
That would have been my guess.
Same with Nashville.
But the problem is that they play the Stars play the Maple Leafs, the Lightning, the Wild, the Oilers, the Flames,
the Devils. They still have to play the Devils.
All good teams.
Who do you think wins the Stanley Cup?
Dude, I don't know. As much as I want to say Colorado,
they just have high hopes, but
they always somehow find a way to choke every year. Every year. I'm not a big Colorado Avalanche guy either. I'm a Stars fan.
Colorado teams
I think the Florida Panthers,
especially when they're located in or near Denver and also have a horse in their logo, they suck. Yeah. But I don't know, honestly.
I think Florida Panthers get it done.
I disagree with that because they're not
a playoff team in recent years.
But their offense is so good.
Is Pittsburgh
I think that they're going to choke in the playoffs.
They could.
Pittsburgh is
currently
the third seed in the Metropolitan Division.
That's what I'm thinking right now.
Sidney Crosby. That's interesting. I think either the Hurricanes. No, actually, I disagree with that. Dude,
what about the Capitals? Like
they're in the second spot in the wild card.
Yeah,
right
I like
now.
The Capitals too.
They've got a pretty good lead over the Islanders right now. 13 points.
It's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
You can only get three a night, so
yeah,
it's a lot of games. Well, you
can only get two.
No, three.
I think it's two, and you get two for a win, nothing for a loss, and one for an overtime.
That's right,
loss.
One for overtime loss.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. That's so dumb.
What?
I don't know. I think it's.
You get one
I think
point
it's
for
interesting.
Overtime loss.
I think it's interesting.
So you lose the game, but you go to overtime.
I have an interesting scoring. But like right now, like it's always the same. For the past like two or three years, the Avalanche have been really high up on the points for just the season. They have 106 right now.
That's a lot of points.
Leading the league.
What about Florida Panthers? How many they have?
104.
It's pretty solid.
It's really solid.
What about the Pittsburgh?
92, actually.
I really like their keeper.
Tiger Woods, 9-iron out of the wood
chips.
Do
you know who their keeper
is? Sailed right.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Who is he, Caleb?
You don't know him?
No, actually, I didn't.
Wait, who? Keeper for what team?
For the Penguins.
No shot.
I think his name's like Arnold something.
Arnold Palmer.
Not even close. His name is Casey DeSmith.
It's a terrible
or Tristan Jarry.
Arnold's the like fourth string. He's in like the minors or something.
That's the
you
guy.
You know about the minors? You know about the AHL?
Yeah. Especially in Pittsburgh.
I know a little bit about it.
Interesting.
I know a little bit about the what's that team from Fort Worth called?
Oh, I went to the Dams once.
A little bit about the Brahma.
The Brahmas.
Brahmas.
The Brahmas. You want to know something about the Brahmas? I have a couple signed signed things from the Brahmas.
I got a couple pucks.
I have a couple pucks. I've got a hat. I've got a miniature hockey stick, and I've got three bowling pins.
I've been to one game, and they
the
won
Brahmas.
In the shootout. So I'm a big fan.
I also love the Savannah Bananas.
Oh, Savannah Bananas.
I'm also a big Savannah Bananas
I love the
guy.
Savannah Bananas.
You catch it in the stands.
Oh, wait, Dylan, what day is our game?
The 15th, next Friday.
I can't go.
And it's who?
You can't go?
No, I can't go.
Are you kidding me?
No.
John.
I know.
Who is it, Rangers Angels?
Yeah. I'm going to kill you.
It's a show has
I'm
started.
Sorry.
You got a ticket?
I have the tickets.
Yeah,
Caleb
to
really wants to go.
I'm going, but Dylan, I just found out yesterday I can't go.
Are you serious? Yeah. Why?
I have something that day.
What do you have that day, John?
I have a thing that day.
What do you have? Tell me right now.
I can't go.
He cannot say that thing on
air. Say Caleb.
Dylan, we can go together.
I mean, it's me and Austin.
Oh, yay.
So I feel like Caleb.
Triple date?
I don't know. I have to talk to Austin, see if I can get our grounding there and figure
I'm
out what he wants
that.
To do.
All right.
Let me know.
Dude, John.
Yeah.
Sell out.
I'm sorry.
Why can't you get him, John?
I have something.
I need you to tell me after the podcast.
Okay, I'll tell you after the podcast.
All right, let's do our game picks. Start tonight we have Celtics Bucks. I'm sorry.
Give me the Celtics.
Caleb?
Celtics.
Brayden?
Bucks.
Right, and we have the Grizzlies and the Nuggets.
Anthony,
Brayden,
what was your pick?
I'm not picking.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Pick.
Anthony, you just don't get, like.
Pick.
You
Celtics,
have to pick.
Whatever.
Pick.
Grizzlies, Nuggets.
Nuggets.
Give me the Grizzlies.
Grizzlies already locked in. So,
I mean,
so.
I guess. Yeah, I guess give me the Nugs then.
I'm picking the Warriors over the
John
Lakers.
We can't pick Anthony's team, guys.
Okay, give me the Grizzlies.
It's not Anthony's team.
Okay,
fine.
Well, it's his country or city. It's Denver.
Anthony,
so.
Give me the Grizzlies by 4 billion. What's the next one?
I'm a Mavs fan, but
what's the next one?
Suns Jazz tomorrow night.
Suns.
Ooh.
I'm not a big Jazz guy, so give me the Suns.
You don't like Jazz?
Jazz have to win. Suns are in.
What does the Jazz have to play
Suns
for?
Suns are trying to continue that record. Most wins.
They're just playing to play.
All right. Well, that will end our show.
That was a great pick.
Hold on.
Welcome back to part two of our mock drafts. We've had to change things up because 2 weeks ago we finished 16, and then 16 got traded to the Saints with the Eagles. They also got pick 18 and traded away pick 19. I asked Will off camera, George, what his thoughts were. What are your thoughts on that trade?
I love it for the Eagles. I really, really do. I mean, this draft class is not super great, and you're just extending it. You get another first round pick last next year. And if the Saints are bad, which they might be, you get an even better pick than what you have now. If they make the playoffs, you're not going to get a much further off pick. You then get a second-round pick for 2 years ago, a couple of middling picks here and there. But I really, really like this deal for the Eagles, and they're just spreading their draft capital a long way. And then, you know, even if all three of these guys hit, which is what you want as an Eagles fan, then you're going to have to play all three of these guys at the same time in the same way. So, no, I really, really like this move for Philly and got no issues with it. I don't know what the Saints are doing. We'll see, but really, really love this move for Philly.
Go ahead, Will. You give your thoughts on this.
I initially was very mad about the trade because Howie Roseman tends to make a lot of poor choices when it comes to, like, the draft. We saw the Jalen Reagor incident, and we didn't draft DK Metcalf. We missed two of the top 15 wide receivers for two guys that aren't going to be on rosters in 2 years. And I was really thinking, Howie, what are you doing? But then I looked at it, and realistically, we only lost one first-round pick. We netted a first, a second, and a third. That's the optimistic Eagles fan view of it.
He was drafting Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. That's what he was doing.
That's the worst draft decision ever.
Side over DK Metcalf.
My mom could know that Justin Jefferson was going to be better than Jalen Reagor. And my mom likes J.J. Watt and Rob Gronkowski because they're good looking.
That's enough about your mom.
All right. So, obviously, last time we ended at pick 16, we're going to go back. Pick 15 will still be Derek Stingley for the Eagles. So, moving into pick 16, they really need a wide receiver too. And I get Drake London's the better receiver, but they already have Michael Thomas. I'm going to go Chris Olave, who's a speed guy, and he's one of the most reliable receivers in the class out of Ohio State.
Yeah, I really like the pick.
I don't, and I'll tell you why. Receiver's a decent need, but there are still receivers on the board, especially like Drake London, guys like that. What they really need is a tackle to replace the dude that's signed with the Dolphins. Yeah, Teron Armstead, thank you. And so, I mean, that is your biggest need at this point. I don't see the point. I mean, you have a pick and another three picks where you can take the best wide receiver off the board and still come away with the best tackle on the board right now. So, I'm a big fan of the Saints taking tackle with their first pick and then drafting the best wide receiver with their second pick, seeing as there's a lot of receivers still on the board. And then if they don't like any of those guys, draft a quarterback, which I think they're going to do. In one of these first three picks that they got, I really think that I mean, there's still guys on the board. If you really like a guy like Ritter, or you know, if you like Corral, or if you like Howell, those are some guys you can take. And so I really think if they're going to sit on receiver, they should wait for another pick before because all these guys are close to me.
I totally see that.
I think that the reason that they would go wide receiver here is because they're followed by the Chargers, who could go receiver, and there's a.
But the Chargers are going to go tackle. They're starting Storm Norton at right tackle, who's the literal worst right tackle in football. So their biggest need is for the Chargers is tackle. So yes, the Chargers could take receiver, but they're bigger. But even if they do take a receiver, you have a pick next pick, and then you get to pick between Olave and London, and you're still great. But now, if they steal your tackle off the board, you already drafted a receiver, so you're kind of screwed.
That's a very good argument, Mr. George. I also think that there's the Ohio State factor that definitely is raising Olave on their boards, with him and Michael Thomas both going to Ohio State. And I think that Ohio State guys are elite at wide receiver in the NFL. So I like the pick of Olave. I could also see them going tackle.
Yeah, I realistically, and I know who George is talking about. He's going to go here to the Chargers. Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. Yeah, Storm Norton is not going to make the cut. And have Trevor Penning on the right, and then the guy who they took last year, forget his name.
Rashawn Slater.
I forgot his name.
Do not know who that is?
Having him on the left and Trevor Penning on the right, that's going to be huge for that offensive line to protect one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Trevor Penning, but I really like the pick here. You have an absolute stud on the left side, and Slater, and so you can just let Penning develop, and he can't be worse than Storm Norton, so you're already getting an upgrade. You might as well, you know, get a guy that can develop to be an absolute mean machine at right tackle. And this is why the Saints shouldn't go receiver at 16. This exact reason right here.
Well,
I really like this pick for the Chargers. Their offensive line, now they'll be able to have two guys that are young with a lot of upside on both sides of the line, and then to protect Herbert, and then it'll definitely help the run game if they take another tackle. I like this pick.
Yeah, I agree. I think Trevor Penning will go fit right in. Like you said, George, Storm Norton's just not it. And that the right side was kind of their weakness last year when you look at it. And so now sitting here at 18, the Eagles will hate it what I did last time when I took Devin Lloyd. I'm not going to make that mistake. And as he's still here, they're going to go Drake London, the receiver out of USC. Man, they need receiver help. I mean, outside of Devontae Smith, there's no one else. And Drake London's going to go in and probably be that number one. Most people have him as the best receiver in the class. He's not. To me, he's receiver two behind Garrett Wilson. So Eagles take him here at 18.
Okay. Don't miss my boy Quez Watkins, first of all. But second of all, if Drake London falls to us at 18, I will be the happiest man on the planet. Nothing will be able to bring me down if Drake London is available at 18. There's no shot that it happens. But
the thing is, if he'll
be available at 18, they'll just draft Jahan Dotson over.
Man. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're probably going to end up drafting Jahan Dotson over Drake London.
I'm going to eat away my pain.
Hey, but no, for real, I really like this pick for Philly. I just don't think this is going to be here. There's no way Drake London. I mean, a lot of guys have a receiver one. I'm with you, Anthony, and the fact I have a receiver two, and Garrett Wilson's my receiver one, but I really just don't see him lasting to 18.
Yeah, I love the pick. I really do, but there's no shot that he's available at 18. He doesn't make it past the Chiefs in yours. Like, the Chiefs could trade up for him. He doesn't make it past Washington. Or if he does, he doesn't make it past 15. So
yeah, I think the Eagles are playing with their first one instead of letting him drop to two other teams that could go receiver. So
yeah. So I love the pick, but it's not going to happen.
You never know, though. People have fallen, like, per se, Justin Jefferson, and you know, they fell down the board, and they're still there. But I kind of agree. I think he could go as early as 10 to the Jets. But in this one, he falls. And now sitting here at 19, the Saints have another pick. They could go offensive tackle, but I don't think there's any other offensive tackle. Maybe Bernard Raymond, but I don't think so. They're going to go
– I really don't like Raymond.
Yeah, so they're going to go Matt Corral, the quarterback out of Ole Miss. Many people – before the end of the regular season, thought he was the best quarterback in the class. Then he went down with that injury. I think he still has a lot of upside, and learning a year under Jameis Winston to take over, I think that could be what the Saints need.
Okay. Your plan is to have a guy learn behind Jameis Winston. There's a problem. Jameis Winston is one of the only – I think he's the only player ever with 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 30 interceptions in the same season. Yes, you like the 5,000 yards. Yes, you love the 30 touchdowns. But then there's that little bit of a deal breaker right there, the 30 interceptions. That was the last time we had a full season of Jameis Winston. And I don't understand why they just signed him to a two-year deal, so they're definitely banking on being Jameis being the guy this year. So why would you take another guy in the first round, especially with so many other needs on your team?
You're taking a guy to develop. I have no issues here. Obviously, you just pointed out the problem with Jameis Winston and why he might not be the long-term starter there in New Orleans. It makes a whole ton of sense that Matt Corral will be drafted here at 19. I'm fine with a pick of quarterback here. I don't like the quarterback that was taken. Matt Corral is my fifth quarterback off the board. I hated the offense that he ran. He doesn't have that great of an arm. And I just don't see all the decision-making. I'm really just not a big fan of Matt Corral. He's my fifth quarterback. I like Ritter. I think that Saints like Ritter. You know, Ritter's main problem is accuracy, which you don't always love to see, but, you know, they were able to develop guys with accuracy. And he's got everything else. Ritter's a winning player. It has taken his college from a place where they were, you know, low power five to, you know, almost winning a championship this year, being in the final four. I like Ritter a lot. I also think that Howell was really good. I think that if they wanted a guy with more upside and would develop better, I think it's Howell. But I don't mind the pick of an actual quarterback here.
I don't like the quarterback pick. I'd understand if you were taking a guy to develop under, like, Sean Payton. But I don't really know anything about the new coach guy. And I just think that taking a quarterback in your first year can make or break your job. So just push that back if you can.
The new head coach is the former defensive. They just upgraded the guy from Sean Payton's system, and then their offensive coordinator is the guy that's been with Sean Payton for 15 years. So it's basically still the Sean Payton show, just without Sean Payton. But they're going to implement the same kind of stuff that Sean Payton did.
But
these guys learned under Sean Payton.
I mean, the guy was with Sean Payton for 15 years. You think he didn't pick up a thing or two?
I've been watching football for 15 years, and I still can't play it. So,
all right.
All right, just move on, please.
So, this number 20 is the New York Giants after trading down with the Steelers. If the Steelers were still at this pick, I think Desmond Ridder would be the pick. I think he, under Mike Tomlin, he could be a great quarterback to develop.
I would actually, if the Steelers were here, I'd go McDuffie because there's still a great corner on the board and they need corners badly.
That's true.
There's Giants on the board, so what do they go with?
Man, that defensive line, they have Darius Leonard on one side, but the interior is horrible. And so they're going to go Jordan Davis here. Remember the Ravens took Devontae Wyatt instead of Jordan Davis, so he falls, and the Giants take him to help out that interior defensive line, which is just not good.
Well,
I could also see corner, but he plays more on the edge.
Yeah, and what, they took tackle at five, right?
Yeah, they took Akeem Okwunu at five. Remember, they run a 3-4, so.
Right, I know that. I'm not a big fan of Jordan Davis. I know he's an athletic freak for a 4.8 at combine at 300 whatever pounds, and, you know, tall, big. I get that all, but he just did not play very many snaps on Georgia's defense. He was not a good pass rusher. He seems to get tired really often, and a one tech is not a very valuable position in today's game, unless you're really playing a lot of too high, which, you know, they might, but I still don't think it's that valuable. Jordan Davis will be there for the – he's not even a three-down defensive lineman. I really don't like – I'm just not a big fan of Jordan Davis. If I'm looking here for the Giants, I really want an edge rusher. If I can't find that, I'm going to guess that my cornerbacks are gone. They're going to probably deal – what's his name there? Their starting corner because he's too much money on the cap. And so I'd probably go secondary here, especially with McDuffie and Booth Jr. still on the board.
I'm going to have to agree with George on the positional pick here. I mean, I could really see them going with George Karlaftis or Andrew Booth even. Just those are two very different positions, but they're both positions of need, and I could definitely see them moving Bradbury for cap reasons.
And Karlaftis reminds me a lot of Justin Tuck, so I think it might be a nice fit if they can scoop him up here at 20.
Yeah, I agree that Jordan Davis is an incredibly raw talent. I think he's could fall out of the first round if we look at it, but I think the Giants take him here at 20. Now at 21, you have the Patriots. You need corner and linebacker help. Trent McDuffie is still there, and I think that could probably be the pick here. And then you have the two linebackers in Lloyd and Dean. I'm going to take Trent McDuffie, though, the corner out of Washington. I think he's really good. I think he's going to go and fit that system, and they can get another linebacker like Chad Mumu or the one from Alabama, I forget his name, in the later rounds. Yeah, Christian Harris. I think, you know, Trent McDuffie would go in and fit the Patriot system.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on the point that I definitely think they can get a linebacker. This is a really deep linebacker class, which I like. A lot of second and third round picks will be linebackers. But I really just don't think McDuffie fits that system unless they're going to put him in the slot. But, I mean, if you're drafting a cornerback in the first round, especially with the guys they got, and using, Stephon Gilmore and J.C. Jackson, this guy really doesn't fit their system. They're a very high man corner that loves guys with long, lanky arms. I mean, McDuffie's a great corner, great dude, but he's really short and he's more of a zone guy, which is why I really would love him for Pittsburgh. I think if the Patriots are going to go corner, they'll go a guy like Kyler Elam, who perfectly fits their system, even with a couple of injury concerns.
Yeah, totally see that too. Jordan,
Will? I really think that the Patriots could go Lloyd or linebacker here instead. Because, yes, you could get a guy in the later rounds, but the top of this linebacker class is really good. And McDuffie, as George said, is pretty short. And if you look at the corners of the past in New England, they've been pretty long and lanky guys, also as George said. George just hitting all my points for me.
If you're going to be able to develop a linebacker, right, you're fine taking one later because of the positional value. Linebacker is one of the least valuable positions on the field. That's just how it is. I mean, they're not paid a lot, all that kind of stuff. They're not super valuable positions. So, therefore, you want to take a guy of a valuable position in the first round. So, I have no qualms about, drafting linebacker second, third, fourth round just because their positional value is not invaluable. I just don't love the fit of McDuffie in the Patriots system.
Yeah, they could go. And this is a tough pick for the Patriots. You could also easily – I could easily see them trading out of this pick. Classic Patriots move to trade down.
For sure, classic Patriots.
So sitting here now at 22, this would have been the Raiders. Probably would have been a reach pick, let's be honest. But they're going to – so the Packers trade Devontae Adams. They're going to take Treylon Burks, the receiver out of Arkansas. I think he's one of the most underrated prospects in this class. He has speed. He's a big body receiver. He can go get it when you need him to, and they need someone to replace Devontae Adams. I don't even – who's their number one right now? I'm not even sure.
Alizard or Randall Cobb. So,
and that's not going to cut it.
No, Treylon it's not going to cut it. But we'll try and see if the Packers actually take a receiver in the first round. Mm-hmm. It's just their MO not to. I think if they do, they're always high on guys that are tall and fast. So I think that Treylon Burks definitely fits it. I'm not in love with his route running. He's not a great route runner. He reminds me of like an all-around weapon. You can use him anywhere. That's how Arkansas did. They used him out of the backfield. They used him in the slot. They just gave him the ball wherever they could and let him go. And so I don't know if that's going to be a receiver that works with Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is going to try and dot him up down the field. But he's just an absolute weapon. And this is a guy the Packers will covet at the receiver position. But we'll see if they actually take one.
Well,
I think that the Packers, yes, they need to go receiver just because, it's a very big need, but it's the Packers. Let's be honest. They're going to make a bad choice. So I could really see them with the players available on the board. I could see them going edge to replace Za'Darius Smith, or maybe even getting another corner or secondary help to put next to Jair Alexander. But receiver's what they should go, but it's the Packers, so you never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, except for the fact that they need a corner.
Yeah, I really do think they need a second corner. I have no doubt about that. I really can see them taking Booth or Carl Loftus right here and taking a wide receiver later in the first round, a guy like Christian Watson, a guy like Alec Pierce, a guy like George. The kid from Georgia, George Pickens. I definitely, those are the kind of receivers that they're going to covet. But if they take Burks here, I don't think it's an issue, but I definitely could see them just using their second first rounder just because they really hate taking first round receivers and trying to maximize the talent that's on the board currently.
Yeah, I really agree. I think Treylon Burks probably should be the pick, maybe Jahan Dotson, but it's the Packers. You don't know what they're up to. Now, sitting here at 23, we have the Cardinals. Kind of need some corner help. They do have Byron Murphy, obviously. Marco Wilson can develop, but I'm going to take Andrew Booth, the corner out of Clemson. I think he's a ball hawk guy who can shut down someone if they need him to. And in that division with those receivers, I think you need another corner outside of Byron Murphy.
Yeah, this is honestly the most interesting. I have a lot of ideas where other teams would go. I have no idea what Arizona is going to do or what, you know, where they would go, anything like that. But I do really like the pick of Andrew Booth Jr. I love Buda Baker on one side, deep in safety, excuse me. And so what they've always needed a second corner. They've been bad at corner since Pat Pete left a couple seasons ago or since he started getting old. So I really think Booth can come in, immediately play a decent man, you know, just can be really versatile. And he doesn't even have to be the number one immediately, which is good for the Cardinals. I could really also see them going Karlaftis. I think that's a good fit. Really, I mean, Karlaftis could learn how to sign J.J. Watt. All right. No, I really think that, you know, if they pick a guy like Karlaftis, he can learn under J.J. Watt. They just lost Chandler Jones. But I really like this pick of Andrew Booth. I have no problems with it, you know, with Byron Murphy in the back. And he doesn't have to start immediately. He can be the second guy and be all right. So I really like this pick for the Cardinals. We'll see what they do. They're going to be really interesting.
Yeah, like you said, this is an interesting pick.
As George said, the Cardinals are a very confusing team. They're a well-rounded team, but there's a couple of major holes, but there's – those major holes are, well, major as major holes are. And there's a lot of ways they could go. I like corner. I also really like I really think that they could go Karlaftis, especially with the loss of Chandler Jones. It's not just to put him next to J.J. Watt, but you lose a guy like Chandler Jones who's just elite off the edge. So you get another guy that has the potential to be elite off the edge and help your defensive line right now.
That's great insight for Will. Major holes or major holes?
Yeah.
Oh boy. All right. So yeah, you look at the Cardinals. Yeah, corners definitely play. Edges in play. I think receiver could also be in play. They have Hopkins and Rondale Moore.
Receiver being played later down the board. I mean, this receiver class is so deep that I mean they need to take a guy that can go earlier at a bigger position need.
Yeah, I agree with that this receiver class is really deep. So sitting here, the Cowboys, man, they didn't really do much this offseason. They brought in James Washington. Forget who else they brought in. Not much. Man. And then they lost Lyle Collins. They're going to start Terrence Steele at right tackle. I believe that needs to be fixed. They don't have a left guard. And so they're going to go Kenyon Green out of A&M. Plug and play left guard for them. Helps out Zeke in the run game as well, which they need interior offensive line. A couple years ago, man, the Cowboys' strength was their offensive line. And now it's turned into a bit of a weakness. So Kenyon Green kind of bolsters it.
With Redrick retiring and Smith getting old and then Lyle Collins being Lyle Collins and just not can't stay on the field, whether to injury or to stupidity. I know I really, really like this pick the way the draft board fell. Kenyon Green played everywhere in Texas A&M. He played guard, he played center, he played tackle. Wasn't great at tackle, especially since they started him at left tackle, but I definitely think that he could fill in the right if need be. If not, he's going to be a really good guard. If I was going straight guard, I really would prefer Zion Johnson. He's my number one interior offensive lineman, even with Tyler Linderbaum. But, you know, if the Cowboys want a versatile guy, which I think they do, I think going Kenyon Green. But I really think if Traylon Burks is still on the board, that's where Dallas would go. I have zero doubts about that if Burks is still there.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Cowboys are like the big names more than the needs, really. Will?
Well, I can't really say anything good about the Cowboys just because, well, they're the Cowboys. But I really think that offensive line would be something that they definitely should work on. Maybe you should get another corner if anyone's, like, if there's a corner worth taking available when they go, because Anthony Brown is quite frankly terrible. And Trayvon Diggs is one of the most overrated corners in football, so you should definitely take a corner here if one's available.
We'll see if Kelvin Joseph has developed any since they drafted him second, third round last year. I don't love Kyer Elam in their system. I really, you know, we'll see if he fits. And then the rest of them, I wouldn't take it. Other than Kyer Elam, like I wouldn't take another corner here, whether it's a Kyler Gordon or Roger McCreary. Those are second round players to me. So I really don't think there's a corner here, and there's not really another wide receiver. I don't love John Dotson. So I think Kenyon Green, the way the board fell, Kenyon Green is probably the perfect fit for the Cowboys to play for.
Yeah, and Jerry Jones said that he says that they're going to target offensive line, but we don't know what they're going to do. Remember, although a couple years ago, he did say that if they're going to go best player available and CeeDee Lamb did fall to them, he was true to his word then. That is, yeah, for you. So we'll see if they stick to their word here. Now sitting at 25, the Bills, they're angry that two picks earlier, the corner they wanted fell, Andrew Booth, but they desperately need it. They're going to hire Elam out of Florida. And outside Tre'Davious White, they don't really have anyone at the corner. And having Kyrie Elam on the outside, on the opposite side, helps that secondary.
Yeah, they lost Levi Wallace to Pittsburgh. So I think that taking Elam is not a bad idea. I don't know how well he'll fit in the system, but with those two great safeties over the top for Buffalo, I don't really think it's going to matter all that much. He's just got to be able to cover close, which is a thing Kyrie Elam does pretty well. So I don't know. Other than that, I really think a great fit for them would be Colossus, especially how much they seem to want to focus on the defensive line. They keep wanting to focus on the defensive line. I definitely think Colossus could be in play. If there was a decent enough running back to go in the first round, which I'm not a big proponent of running backs taking the first round, and there's really nobody of great talent. Running back one on my board is Kenneth Walker, and I see him as a second-round player. So, but I definitely would expect them to go with that in the second, third round for Buffalo.
I like the pick of Elam, especially because outside of Tre'Davious White, as George said, they don't have a corner. But I could also see them, their safeties are getting up there in age, maybe taking a guy to sit under and learn under them just because they're getting up there in age. Their regression is likely going to start in the next 2 years. Take a guy that's going to learn under Jordan Poyer.
You'd rather take a safety to back up. You'd rather take a safety to back up to the two that are in safety because they're getting old rather than drafting a corner, which they desperately need, or taking a running back, which is the least valuable position in the NFL.
I don't think you have the word you said.
My phone just did a thing.
Okay. I mean,
I don't even know what it did. That's good. Look now. At
Daxon Hill can kind of play the
song. You hear me or not hear Will?
No, I could hear you. I don't think Will heard you.
Oh, yeah. I'll say this once again. Running back is the least valuable position in the NFL, and it's not close.
Should I ask the Steelers how they feel about that comment?
You know what? I don't want to talk about it. Now, the Najee Harris was the second worst pick in the first round last year.
What was the worst?
Travis Etienne.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty bad. Forgot about him.
Yeah, you got injured.
Exactly.
What was their plan? To move him to receiver? Try him out at receiver?
Because they wanted the guy the Giants got.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted him super bad, and they said, well, guess what? Well, the Giants drafted for him, so they moved to the next most versatile guy, and they got the running back with having a running back already there, and then ETN, what, tore his ACL or something?
Achilles.
Yeah, it was Achilles.
Also, Urban Meyer was, like, the biggest NFL coaching bust ever because he didn't know who Aaron Donald was.
The less said about Urban Meyer, the better.
Yeah.
Let's put it that. So
all we know is the Jags are a poverty franchise.
Thanks.
So sitting here now at 26, the Titans, they released Julio Jones of the day. They could easily go quarterback here with Desmond Ridder still on the board. I don't think Tannehill is their answer. Receiver is also somewhat of a need. They have A.J. Brown and Robert Woods. Linebacker is another need for them. Man, the Titans, what do you do here? Do you trade? I'm just going to go receiver and take Jahan Dawson and pair him with A.J. Brown to get down the field with Tannehill.
I like that if they could block at all. They just lost Roger Saffold. They really need offensive line help. And you just have an absolute plug-and-play right guard, left guard, and Zion Johnson there, which is a player I absolutely love. I think that if I'm the Titans, I'm taking him, and I'm the happiest guy alive if he's still on the board here. I absolutely love Zion Johnson. I think he'd be a perfect fit in Tennessee. And they really need offensive line help.
Well,
I also think that they need offensive line, but with a guy like Derrick Henry in the backfield, you don't really need offensive line. Derrick Henry's going to run you over no matter if you have a good offensive line. I'm not saying it's like like that. But you know what I mean. Derrick Henry is going to get a yard whether it's one at a time or not.
Well, that's a horrible take. That's a horrible take.
And I'm not saying that I like it.
You draft off the lineman so that Derrick Henry can get up to speed, and so he's passing the line and not getting knocked back in the backfield. And then when he gets up to speed, he knocks over your linebackers, he knocks over your safeties, and runs for a touchdown. That's how that offense works. And then off of that, you play action. Ryan Tannehill could sit in the back off the play action and throw the ball downfield. And you hit Derrick Henry in the backfield, he's not up to speed, so it's a lot harder to take down. That's how it works, Will. That's why offensive line is important. And it's not just, oh, you have a good running back. Running back is the least important position in the NFL. The least. And it's not particularly close. That is a horrible take and a horrible understanding of how the run game works.
Thank you for that insight, George. Back to what I was saying. Jahan Dotson does not make sense here, especially after they go out and trade for Robert Woods. I mean, you don't – receiver, you have A.J. Brown and Robert Woods. Receiver, you don't really need one of those right now based on having two guys right there. You have those
have
two positions.
Have you seen their other receivers?
Yeah, but you
Gabriel
have two
Davis
guys.
Is bad? I like Gabriel Davis.
Receiver doesn't make sense here. Hmm? They should go with Zion Johnson or Linderbaum here.
Oh, so now you're agreeing with me with the offensive line after we schooled you.
Nah, I was thinking offensive line before you told me that.
So this, moving on. We missed this, George and Will yelling at each other. It's been 2 years since we had that. So moving on here, number 27, the Bucks. Ali Marpet retired. They lost Alex Kappa in free agency, so they're going to take Zion Johnson out of Boston College to go fit right in.
What there we go. Freaking steal for the Buccaneers. I hate for this to happen. Just because I don't like the Buccaneers. I love Zion Johnson. This is a wonderful pick for them. I just hate that he falls here. But if he does, it's an absolutely no-brainer great pick for the Bucs.
Yeah, I have to agree with George. If you can give Tom Brady another offensive lineman that – linemen play good for Tom Brady. I mean, do you want to be the guy who let up the sack that tore Tom Brady's ACL at 44 years old? No. So you're obviously going to play better. And he's the best interior O-lineman in the class. So really, I love this pick for the Bucs.
That's an interesting offseason. I mean, obviously, Brady did retire. If he had stayed retired, Desmond Ridder probably would have been the pick. But yeah, then he unretired. They re-signed Chris Godwin.
And then he tried to own the Miami Dolphins, and then that fell through when Brian Flores started suing the team. And so, yeah, Tom Brady was extremely close to becoming a Miami Dolphin this offseason.
Wait. So you said owning the Dolphins? I haven't seen anything about that.
No, there was a rumor.
I saw it earlier today. It said. Tom Brady wanted to own the Dolphins, then deal something for himself so he could then play for the Dolphins and then grab Sean Payton as a head coach.
Dude, that would have been so lit. How have I never heard about this?
And imagine. And then they get the Tyreek Hill trade. Actually, they wouldn't
imagine
have
had Will Reed. Imagine if Will read some articles with his phone. Did something productive.
All right. Moving on here to the Packers, their second first-round pick. This is actually their pick, though. They took Treylon Burks earlier, and I'm actually going to follow up. We're going to take George Karloftis, the edge out of Purdue, to go fit on that defensive line.
Yeah, the fact that he's still here and there's really no corners on the board I like, I think it's a no-brainer to take Karloftis. He's never going to be that upside number one edge rusher that's great or whatever, but he's just a solid guy. He'll get to 8 to 10 sacks per year. Be a really good player, really good guy versus the run. He's just going to be solid. And so I absolutely love that for a team that is trying to make another run in the Super Bowl. Just a guy that's absolutely solid across from Preston Smith.
Yeah, I have to, once again, I have to agree with George. Sometimes I disagree very strongly with George, but most of the time we stay in agreement. I really like Karloftis to the Packers, especially because I could have realistically seen them taking him at 22, but now that he's fallen to them at 28, they're jumping for joy that he's still available for them.
Yeah, I think he's also you know, incredibly raw. He had a breakout year with Purdue, and I think learning with Kenny Clark and their other defensive linemen could help him. The Texans are mad, I'll tell you that much. They are mad that George Karloftis just went off the board before them. Obviously, this is the pick they got from the Chiefs and their trade. What to do? Corners. There's not really a corner here. Maybe Roger McCreary. I could see that, maybe. Could also see them. Maybe they take a safety to replace Justin Reed. Man, their safety.
The best player available.
Yeah, it's got to be the best player available no matter what.
Yeah.
Who'd they take at three? Thibodeau?
No, they took Evan Neal at three.
Okay, well, then I know what I'm doing from the Texans.
Taking Linderbaum?
No.
No.
Man, I'm going to take Devin Lloyd. Why not? Out of Utah, their linebackers really do suck, except for Christian Kirksey.
They're the Texans. Everything about them sucks.
But, okay, again, we're going to go over this again. If you're in the first round, you might as well draft a guy that has high positional value and is still really good on the board. Absolutely give me Boye Mafe at 29. He's going to take a little bit more to develop, really kind of raw, but I really am a big fan of Boye Mafe's game. I think that he can absolutely tear it up. Once he figures it out. Another guy would be Ojabo, right? He had that big injury, but you know, the Texans, you don't care. You can take some time, let him develop and absolutely be a stud. Those are guys that you take here at 29, get their fifth year option, do all that kind of stuff. I just don't understand taking a linebacker in the first round when you're a team that needs everything. You might as well take a guy with high positional value, or you know, you still have Christian Kirksey. Linebacker is extremely unimportant. If they wanted to go a different guy, the only other guy I could see that's not an edge rusher that can go here is a guy like Lewis Seen, who is a fantastic safety prospect in Georgia, could be defining. And that entire defense runs off of safety and good safety play in the back end. So I just don't understand the pick of linebacker here.
Yeah, the Texans need everything, and I don't think that Devin Lloyd is the best player available, especially because, you know, there's, as George said, linebacker is pretty unimportant. So I really like what he said about them taking a job. Yes, he's coming off a major injury. He's probably not going to play for you a whole lot this year due to that injury. But you're the Texans. You're going to suck anyways. Why not get a guy with super high upside who will probably end up being a really good edge rusher in the NFL?
Yeah, the Texans, they just need help, really. Let's look at it like that. I could see any of those situations happening. Now, sitting here, the Chiefs at 30, they took Jameson Williams after they traded up earlier. They could, I feel like edge rusher would be the move, so you can finally put Frank Clark, or Chris Jones, sorry, back inside. But secondary, man. The safeties, I think, are fine with Justin Reed and Juan Thornhill. But Rashad Fenton, I don't think, is going to cut it.
But there's no corners on the board. What corners on the board? You're really going to draft Roger McCreary here? You're going to draft Kyler Gordon?
Maybe I could also see them maybe going with Daxton Hill to he can kind of play the slot.
I mean, I guess so, but you need an edge rusher badly. And I don't want – if I'm the Chiefs, I don't want to play – I don't want to pay Frank Clark anymore. I'm done. I'm done doing it. He's a bum. I need somebody to put in that situation. So do whatever you think is best. But if I'm the Chiefs here and there's really no good number one corners on the board, give me an edge rusher.
Yeah, I think – the corner class is more towards second, third round. So I think they could do that. So sitting here, Boye Mafe and David Ojabo. I'm going to go with Ojabo. I think – he had a stellar year and then got injured at his pro day. I think he was, early first round, like top 15 before the injury, and then fell.
Maybe I was never the biggest fan of Ojabo in top 15. He's an absolutely horrible run defender. They actually had to take him out in their bowl game against Georgia just because he literally could not defend the run. But, you know, extremely raw, was a really good pass rusher. and you know, he wasn't playing. He hasn't been playing football very long. So I definitely think that Ojabo could take as a guy at 30 that can develop and take over for Frank Clark. I actually really like this pick.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off what you said, they got to get rid of Frank Clark. That contract is up there with one of the worst in the league.
Yeah. It's just a little bit behind the Zeke contract, which is the worst in the league.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the Zeke contract is atrocious. I like the Ojabo pick here, and if he does start to come on for you, he'll come on right when you need a guy to start hitting his stride, which is towards the playoffs, which is when the Chiefs are really going to need him because – well, actually, they're going to need him all season because they'll be vying for that division championship and that home game in the playoffs. But there's a very low chance that that happens, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Well, so I really like the Ojabo pick.
You have Patrick Mahomes. There's no low chance of you getting a playoff spot, especially because Russell Wilson's coming over and barely going and is just starting to get into the system, all that kind of stuff. And the Chargers are probably going to charge her like they always do. And, you know, remember in
that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs. The
number one overall defense, the worst special teams of all time, and they didn't make the playoffs. Instead, Pat came and Chiefs made it. So I'm not counting out the Chiefs not getting a home playoff.
I'm not counting out the Chiefs either. I'm not saying that counting the Chiefs out of the playoffs. I'm saying that I don't think they're going to win the division title.
So who thinks they're going to win the division?
The Chargers.
I just feel like the defense.
If they don't pull the Chargers.
I get that they revamped their defense.
So top heavy. They just have no depth. And right now they still have Storm Norton starting at tackle. So that doesn't give me any hope and confidence.
It'll be all right.
Now you're sitting here at 31, the defending AFC champions. Tyler Linderbaum's there. You could take him to replace Ted Karras. I think that's probably going to be the pick. Or you take a corner because Eli Apple sucks. But I don't think you're going to get another interior offensive lineman. So they're going to take Tyler Linderbaum and start him at center over Ted Karras.
Okay. When you said to replace Eli Apple because he's the problem, they have their offensive line is a way bigger problem than Eli Apple.
Not
their offensive line let up.
Yes, their offensive line was an extreme bad problem last year, but how many offensive linemen did they sign? I mean, it's not like they went out and did absolutely nothing. They signed a bunch of offensive linemen, meaning they're really – yes, is it still kind of a need? Sure, but you might as well take some better players. So I don't mind if you take Linderbaum. I don't know how well he'll fit his system. He's kind of small. He's kind of short. Doesn't have very long arms, all that kind of stuff. Kind of reminds me, you know, there's some fears he could be the next Garrett Bradbury, which really didn't work out in Minnesota. He's really best fit in a wide zone scheme. But, I mean, it's not like offensive line is you have to take one like it was earlier this offseason. I think you take the best player available. And to me, it's probably one of these linebackers. They fell all the way to you at 31. You might as well take because – I mean, who's the starting linebacker for Cincinnati?
Good question. They have Logan Wilson, Jermaine Pratt, and Marcus Bailey.
Yeah, they were young.
And then Akeem Davis-Gaither is behind them. Yeah, I can actually see linebacker Nakobe Dean still being there. Could be the move.
If they don't want to go linebacker because they don't like it, they're still Boye Mafe's on the board. Their safety's on the board because they still can't seem to come with a deal with Jesse Bates. There's wide receivers on the board. Well, I mean, they're really not a huge team, so I can see them not doing that. But I don't love Linderbaum in that system, and I don't think that they have to go interior offensive line here with their first pick.
I can see them going somewhere else. It's a tough pick for the Bengals. Remember, again, after Super Bowl, this 100% if he's here, it would have been the pick. But like you said, they did revamp. I think the center is kind of the weak point of that offensive line, and Tyler Linderbaum is undoubtedly the best center in the class, and he will go in and start for them. So sitting here at 32, Detroit, this is essentially, I don't know, man. They took Thibodeau at 2. which, by the way, I've seen many people mock them, Trayvon Walker. If that happens, Detroit Lions need to fix something. I'm not on high. Well, I'm not as high as Trayvon Walker as anyone else.
I'm really not high on Trayvon Walker either. He's extreme. You want to talk about extremely raw. There was really no production at Georgia. And even with that absolutely stacked defensive line, you think he'd be getting a lot more one-on-one looks. But he still wasn't a very big, you know, pass rushing producer. He's extremely raw, really talented. Athletically, I just don't see it, especially at number two. And Thibodeau is my number one edge rusher for me. I mean, I really like Thibodeau. I'd take Thibodeau over Aiden Hutchinson personally. I understand why, and Hutchinson's got a better floor, but I mean, the fact that Trayvon Walker and some people have Jermaine Johnson ranked over Kayvon Thibodeau is absolutely weird to me. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't get it as much as you do. So they took Thibodeau. Jared Goff ain't the answer, man. He ain't it. And so they're going to take Desmond Ridder, the quarterback, out of Cincinnati to learn under him a year. He'll start next year, and I think he'll be somewhat able to help that Detroit Lions team.
I actually really like this pick. I mean, if I'm Detroit, I'm going to pick somebody a little bit more athletically inclined, the guy that might, you know, have a higher ceiling. So I'm probably taking Howell if I'm Detroit, but I still like Ridder. You know, you take a quarterback, you want to get his fifth-year option. And so at the end of the first round, that is a perfect time to take a back-end quarterback like that. I think Detroit really needs one. The goofball is not the answer. So I definitely really like that pick for Detroit. You can absolutely see them drafting a quarterback at pick 32.
Yeah, I really love the pick of quarterback. I'm not sure if I love Ridder as the pick here. But I really think that they need to bring in a guy that's going to challenge Jared Goff and maybe even take his job, because Jared Goff is clearly not the answer, and you don't want to continue to be a poverty franchise. So you should draft a quarterback who's going to come in, compete for the starting job with a good chance of winning it, but also have the opportunity for Jared Goff to step in to the role that got him his big contract.
I really could also see an arms race at the end of that first round for teams trying to get up that didn't take quarterback early. Just to be able to get that extra fifth-year option, not pay a quarterback as much, just because that's how it works. And so, you know, Detroit might not even have a quarterback to take here that they like at 32. I think the end of this first round is going to be extremely interesting, depending on how many quarterbacks come off the board before then.
Yeah. And as it is April, we're officially a month away, less than a month away from the draft. But that will conclude this week's episode. I will get Will and George back in here. We're all going to do a collective mock draft where we all pick, and probably going to do draft recap, because I don't think, you know, the boys here will care about the draft. I know Dylan doesn't. So
I care about the draft.
I'll probably get you guys back on for that more than 2 weeks for the regular mock draft.
Works either way. Hey, man, this is my favorite time of year, the draft. Everybody loves the Super Bowl. This is my time of year. The draft is my favorite. It's just so cool. The roster building is one of my favorite parts of all of the NFL. So I'm extremely excited to see what happens at the end of this month.
Can we do an episode where we sit through George's 7-round mock draft, please?
Hey, man. We could. I do have one. I always put out 1 7-round mock draft.
You know what? We're going to leave a comment on Anchor. We're going to leave a comment for you guys, for the listeners, to see if they want to listen to that. That should be a very long podcast.
I'll let you know. But who will be in there is a Timberwolves alumni, Eric Aiden Thomas, will probably be drafted, which is awesome.
Yeah, well, actually, Will and I were talking about him off air. Will thinks he's going to go 5th round. I think mid to late 4th.
At the earliest, 5th round.
I think late 4th, mid 5th. Maybe 6th round. You know, he's just not a tallest route runner, doesn't get great separation, but, you know, speed, athletically, all that kind of stuff. Great. He was a captain at Texas Tech early on in his career. I really think he should have stayed another season, especially with how absolutely deep this receiver class is. You know, he stays another year, he's probably a 3rd round pick. But, you know, it's unfortunate. But, hey, man, I'm just, you know, it's going to be really cool having a Timothy go on the night.
Yeah. Hopefully, more than likely, he won't go undrafted. So a Timber Creek player will be drafted in this year's class. So, but I want to thank you guys, you know, for taking time, coming on the show, helping me out with this. We'll see y'all. See y'all in 2 weeks, maybe two, more than likely 2 weeks. And then we'll see you guys for the drafts. Goodbye, everyone.
Adios.